Okay, we are holding in Tanya, and we're holding by chapter 15, by Perek Tes Vov. And we're working our way through the story of the Beinoni, especially in the last few prakim, the last few chapters, starting chapter 12, where we began dealing in earnest with the Beinoni themselves. Let me recall just a moment or two, quick background. As we know, Tanya in entirety is called the Book of the Beinoni, Sefer Shel Beinonim. And that's because, as the Alter Rebbe paints to us, the Beinoni is the person who struggles, because they have those two souls, the animal soul, the godly soul, and are going to struggle throughout their life in one form or another, which is the story of the vast majority of people. We talked at length about the build of the two souls and the soul powers and the express soul expressions or the garments of the soul. And then we talked about those people who are on the level of tzaddik, who have been able to vanquish the negative side totally, so it's a non-issue, and there isn't a real struggle for the tzaddik as far as dealing with that which is negative. We talked about the Rasha, the one who's wicked, and so many different levels of that, but that's someone who falls to the negative side and does the Avera, goes against Hashem's will. And we talked about the one who always wins every battle, which to most of us, that's the perfect person, but it's the struggling person, because the person only wins because there's that ongoing struggle between the different sides of their, again, the Nefesh Olikis, the Nefesh Abahamis, the vital, natural soul, and the godly soul that goes on within the person. So, and most significantly, in the last three Shiurim, we had Yud Beis and Yud Gimel and Yud Aleph, chapter 12, 13, and 14, is where he described and talked a lot about that struggle, the struggle of the souls. He talked a lot about the Avodas HaTfila of the Beinoni. We talked a lot about davening. And now during davening, the Beinoni's godly soul is very much victorious over the animal soul, even inwardly, even as far as the feelings are concerned. But throughout the day, it's the leftover inspiration of the davening that keeps the Beinoni always in the winning seat, so to speak, to be able to overcome every type of battle using the different gifts that Hashem gives us, like Moyach Shalat Alalev, the fact that the mind is able to overcome the heart and the desires, as well as other points. He talked about a certain advantage that there is to godliness over that which is not godly, like the advantage of light over darkness, which we discussed. And then in the last year, we talked about the Beinoni also doing what's called the Avodah of Tzaddikim, trying to deal with internal desires as well. And all that is behind us, which brings us to where we are in Perek Tes Vav, the beginning of chapter 15. Perek Tes Vav begins with a very fascinating pasuk, a verse that he's going to explain based on what we learned till now and add new points of explanation. And it's actually one of the very, very last psukim in all of Torah Shebiksav. We know Torah Shebiksav, the written Torah, is there's the 24 books, right? There's the 5 books of Moshe, Chamisha Chumshe Torah, and then there's the 19 books of the prophets and the writings. And you have the one book that contains a number of books of the writing of the later prophets, and that is the Trei Asar. Trei Asar is 12 short books of prophecy. The very last of the Trei Asar is a sefer called Malachi. Now, Malachi was one of the last Nevi'im. We know there was the era of prophecy. There's the era of prophecy, which we actually had many classes on here before we started Tanya. And the era of prophecy had hundreds of Nevi'im. There was a time of many, many Nevi'im. And then prophecy as an era ended. And prophecy as an era ended in the time of the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. Right? We'll recall, you had the first Beis HaMikdash, and then you had many prophets, and then you had the 70 years of exile in Bavel. And then the Jewish people come back and build the second Beis HaMikdash. The ones who build that second Beis HaMikdash, they're led by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the men of the Great Assembly, who are comprised of a great group of 120 Rabbanim, and amongst them are a number of Nevi'im. But it was with that group that prophecy ended as an era, as a whole. And the books of prophecy ended then as well. The 24 Sfarim of Torah Shebiksav finished with the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. So, all that is an introduction. The very last of those prophets was the Navi known as Malachi. It's really, he's one of three, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. But the very last Navi, and the very last book of prophecy, is Malachi, who's the last of the Trei Asar. So it's the last book of prophecies that there is. And in one of the very last verses of that book is the verse that this chapter opens up with. Malachi, in the end of his prophecies, is talking primarily about the coming of Mashiach and prophesizing the coming of Mashiach. He introduces us to Eliyahu HaNavi. He talks about the day of the coming of Eliyahu. There he says in the last pasuk, "Veheshiv lev avos al bonim," that in the time when Eliyahu will come, Mashiach will come. So the parents will come back through the children. The children will actually inspire the parents. And there, in one of the last psukim, he says the following. He says, "Vishaftem ureisem." He says, at that time, everyone will be able to clearly see the difference between tzaddik l'rasha, between a tzaddik and a rasha, between oved elokim la'asher loy avodai, and the difference between one who serves Hashem to one who doesn't serve Him. And that's how he ends up. This is, again, like two or three psukim before the end of the Sefer, which again is the end of all the Sforim of Torah Shebiksav. So he says that whereas now in the time of Golos and the time of exile, many times we only see things very externally, and we might not see things for what they are. Someone who might seem righteous and they're not so righteous, someone who might seem very simple and they're really very righteous, we don't necessarily get the correct picture here. But he said, well, Mashiach will come. At that point, Vishaftem or Isim will be able to see well, see clearly the difference between the tzaddik and the rasha, and the servant of Hashem to the one who's not truly serving Hashem. That's the pasuk. Now, that pasuk is quite cryptic because it talks here about four types of people. It talks the tzaddik and the rasha, which we always translate as the righteous and the wicked, the servant of Hashem and the one who doesn't serve Him. Now, it would seem that there's a total redundancy here, because obviously the tzaddik serves Hashem and the rasha doesn't serve Hashem. But here you have it put as these different, the tzaddik and the rasha, the servant and the non-servant, as if there's different entities here. So what are they? Who's the tzaddik? Who's the rasha? Who's the servant of Hashem? That's not the tzaddik. And who's the one who's not serving Hashem? Who's not the rasha? And that's how this chapter opens up. I'm quoting this pasuk of Malachi and saying, let's understand, based on what we learned so far in Tanya, who are these people that this pasuk is talking about? So, the first thing he says is, who is the difference between the tzaddik and the oved Elohim? The tzaddik and the one serving Hashem. So he says, in simple Tanya language, that's the difference between the tzaddik and the beinoni. Why is that? Well, tzaddik is the tzaddik. That's easy. But the oved Elohim, the one who's serving Hashem, what's the difference between an oved Elohim and a tzaddik? And he says something very beautiful and some Hebrew grammar. There's an oved versus an eved. How would we define the difference in Hebrew between the oved and the eved? So an eved, and both of them mean servants, right? Both an oved and an eved, they mean the word avoda, which is the word service, to serve Hashem. So he says the eved is the description of a person. An eved is a servant, one who has reached the level, they are a eved. It's a description of a person. An oved means one who is serving, one who's doing the act of service. It's not a description of a person, that the person is a servant. Rather, it's one who is serving, doing the act of service. And the Alter Rebbe says, that's really the difference between the tzaddik and the beinoni. The tzaddik has already reached the level that they're a servant. Like Moshe Rabbeinu is called the Eved Hashem. The pasuk says in the end of Chumash Devarim, when Moshe Rabbeinu passes away, Vayamas Sham Moshe, Eved Hashem, he's called the ultimate servant of Hashem. He's reached that level. The Beinoni is not described as a servant, rather he's one who is serving. Every day he's working on serving. The Beinoni is working on doing the service, doing the right thing every day. And every day, as we discussed, it's a battle to serve and to do the right thing. Dr. Abbey says, for example, you say the same thing, a very wise person would be called a chacham. The chacham has attained wisdom. Then there's someone who's working in wisdom. They're working on chachma, but they haven't attained the level of chacham. And that, therefore, is the difference between what the Malachi says over here, the Pasuk says, The tzaddik, that's the tzaddik, the one who reached that level, who doesn't have the yetzer hara. We said many times here, David HaMelech says in Tehillim, V'libi chalo bekirbi, I've done so much tshuva that my heart is hollow within me, I don't have a yetzer hara anymore. That's the tzaddik. The beinoni, the one who's working actively every day on serving, that is the Oved Elohim that the Pasuk is talking about. So that's point A. Another interesting point to make is that the Oved here is connected with the name Elohim. Oved Elohim. I mentioned earlier the Pasuk about Moshe Rabbeinu, he's called Eved Hashem. Notice different names of Hashem are being used. The Tzaddik is the Eved Hashem. The name Hashem is always the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is the more primary name of Hashem. The Beinoni, who's doing the service, is called a servant of Elohim. Why is the Beinoni connected specifically with Elohim? So two points that the Rebbe makes here in his comments to Tanya. One is that the name Elohim represents in Torah always strength. Right? Even when we say the name Elohim in davening, we're supposed to be thinking about the fact that Hashem has the strength in this world to do what he wants, and Hashem controls and does everything. So Elohim is connected with strength. The Beinoni requires a special strength in their avoda that even the tzaddik doesn't require. I think this was mentioned in the past. Although a tzaddik is in a higher level than the Beinoni, but the Beinoni has to access greater strength because the Beinoni struggles every day. The Beinoni has the impulses, the Beinoni has the desires, the Beinoni has the nefesh of Hamas. So in a way, the Beinoni has to access greater strength than the tzaddik because the Beinoni is always on the front lines. He's always battling, he's always fighting. So therefore the Beinoni connects with the name Elohim, which means the name of Gevura, the name of Koach. We discussed, I think, in one of the previous classes, that the Beinoni connects primarily with Avoda called Iskafia. Iskafia means to suppress, to subdue, to push down, to push back. And that requires a tremendous amount of strength, and therefore the Beinoni is connected with the name Elohim. Another point is that the name Elohim is always connected with concealment and with nature, right? The name Elohim has the same numerical value as the term Hateva, which means nature. Nature is where godliness is somewhat concealed and covered over. Again, we've discussed in the past that the Hebrew word for nature is teva, which also means to be drowned, to be surrounded with water. Because in nature is where godliness is concealed. And the Beinoni is dealing with that. The Beinoni is what is dealing with concealment and dealing with struggle and dealing with battle and dealing with the animal side that conceals godliness. And all of this is the reason why in this pasuk, the Beinoni is called the Oved Elohim. He's involved in the service. He's not the Eved. He hasn't reached the level of the servant. It's rather someone who's involved in serving every day. And again, that's the story of the vast, vast majority of us. We're always serving. We're always working on it. We're always struggling with concealment and different forms of concealment. And we need a lot of koach for that. And that's the Oved Elohim. That's the Beinoni. So that's the explanation of two of these terms in the pasuk. So we have the tzaddik, we have the Oved Elohim, the one, the tzaddik and the Beinoni, really. And then there's the Rasha. Okay, that's easy also. That's one who falls, one who doesn't do the right thing, one who gives in, one who loses in their battles from time to time. Okay, the most enigmatic one here is, who's the lo avado of this pasuk? Because again, in the pasuk we have the tzaddik, we have the Oved Elohim, we know now that's the Beinoni, and we have the Rasha. So who's the lo avado, the one who's not actively serving Hashem? If they're not serving Hashem, why aren't they the Rasha? Who are these two? And here the Alter Rebbe tells us something that's new to this Perek, and a very, very powerful, I'm going to say very famous Tanya concept that we're going to learn right now. The Alter Rebbe says that there could be someone who does everything right every day. They always do the right thing and they never fall and they do all their mitzvahs and they don't do any averus and you know they cross every T and dot every I. They do everything right, but they're not really Oved Elohim. They're not truly serving Hashem. They're a Beinoni. They're a Beinoni because they don't do anything wrong. They don't make any mistakes. They learn Torah and they do mitzvahs and they daven and they don't do averus. And in any area, they're really perfect picture. So they are a Beinoni. But the Beinoni, that doesn't come from Avoda. And that's not the real deal Beinoni. That's not the ultimate Beinoni. And what does he mean? What does he mean? And what the Alter Rebbe says, and as he explains what he says, the Beinoni really, ideally, is someone who not only does everything right, but does it because of their internal Avoda. Because of their struggle internally, which comes from thinking about Hashem, which comes from davening with tremendous kavana, which comes from strengthening the godly side over the other side, and the Beinoni overcomes struggle after struggle for the sake of Hashem. You could have a person who does everything right, but not because they're struggling, and not because they're using any tremendous koach. Rather, it's because this person, the right thing comes naturally to them. There are certain people who their nature is, for example, there are certain people who love studying. That's just the way they are. The way they are is that they're very intellectual people and they love studying and they love learning. So therefore, that person might learn Torah the entire day because that just comes sort of naturally and easily to them. It doesn't require a lot of effort and a lot of internal struggle or battle. It's enough this person has. All of us have a basic Avas Hashem, what's called the Ava Misuteras, the hidden love that's part of our neshama, which we're going to learn much more about in later chapters. But we have there's the basic love of Hashem, and that's enough to set this person straight. Now, this person who's a very intellectual person and loves study might also be a person who's not very hot-blooded and passionate and therefore doesn't have all those or many of those negative desires and impulses and pullings that others have. So that this person, again, is on cruise control based on their basic avas Hashem. They have a neshama, and therefore they have a basic love of Hashem. And that's enough to keep this person on the narrow and straight, if you will, every day in doing the right things. And the Alter Rebbe says, this person is the lo avado. It's a Beinoni. The person is a Beinoni. Man or woman, the person is a Beinoni because the person doesn't do any averis and always does the right thing, but doesn't come from avodas Hashem. It doesn't come from trying to serve Hashem, which implies a service that requires effort, which requires struggle, battle, internal effort. This is the Beinoni that's a Beinoni without avoda. And it's not the ultimate Beinoni, says the Alter Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe says additionally, he says, even if this person may have been born not so studious, not so involved, but the person worked on it enough that this becomes natural to them. We've talked about in one of the earlier, last chapter, we talked about the concept of a teva sheni. A teva sheni means an acquired nature. Sometimes you can have a person who, maybe it's as a student just starting out in school, was not studious, but worked on it for a couple of years and then became studious. So now it's just that person's second nature. And now, for the next 5 years, after the person already acquired the nature, studying doesn't require a lot. That became the person's second nature. Says the Alter Rebbe, that's wonderful. This person at this point is a lo avado, doing the right thing, but not with avoda. Yes?
So, like, I feel like it's not the person's fault. This is their nature, mm-hmm. Right? It's like, why should they be labeled, kind of, you know? And then the other part is, how do they change it then? How do they change their nature to become an Avodat Hashem?
Right. Great, and both of those questions are obviously connected to each other. And the answer of both questions is going to go together. I'll get to it in a moment. But the point is that a person always has the ability to push themselves more than their nature. And really, we're meant to do that. In other words, although I could get by doing this and doing always the right thing, and I could learn Torah and I could daven, but I could learn with greater intensity. I can daven with greater intensity. I can do a mitzvah with greater intensity. And when a person goes, and we're going to use soon, we'll see soon, the expression is yoser merigiluso. One pushes themselves out of their comfort zone. At that point, even this person that naturally would do everything right, but they can do it better, they can do it greater and do it stronger, and then it would be an expression of avodas Hashem. So serving Hashem is not just about getting, you know, doing the things right, doing what I got to do. It's about going out of myself and beyond myself for Avodas Hashem. And that's where this lo avodo can become an avodo. So you're right. You're saying it's not the person's fault. And on the other hand, a lot of us are very jealous of such people. Imagine a person who doesn't really, you know, everything just comes naturally right to them. So we can be jealous of them. They can be jealous of us because we're called an Ovid. Jealousy here, it's not about jealousy. Everyone has their own, you know, their own mission in life. But clearly people are created differently. And even, you know, of course, Tanya always takes like very extreme pictures and paints the person who's extreme this way, but also in a small way in ourselves. We know there are certain things that we might do right, but it comes easy to us and naturally to us, and it's good. It's a gift for Hashem, that from Hashem, that this thing comes naturally to me. But yet, that's not going to make me an Ovid Hashem. I'm going to become an Ovid Hashem in the areas that I have to work hard for. Those things that come naturally for me is a gift, and it's wonderful. But in those areas, if I push myself beyond that, my natural tendency, that's where I'm expressing Avodas Hashem there as well. And the Alter Rebbe goes on, and he says that really, the Gemara talks about this. You know, before that, when we talk about pushing ourselves to go beyond our limits, so beyond limits, talk about learning Torah, talk about davening, talk about giving tzedakah, pushing oneself beyond limits doesn't only mean in quantity; it could also be in quality. You know, when we talk about to learn Torah. So learning Torah comes easy for me. I want to push myself beyond my limit. It's not necessarily only about adding another half hour. It's adding intensity. It's adding depth. It's adding focus. And the same thing is with davening. And the same thing is with tzedakah. And the same thing is with any mitzvah that we're doing, even if we're doing it right. We can always go the extra mile and do it better and do it more. And that's what will require more of an internal avoda. Remember, Tanya always goes deeper inside of us and asks, am I really putting an effort in my Avodas Hashem? Which starts, from Tanya's perspective always, with thinking about the greatness of Hashem and his bonenus, reflection about Hashem and davening with greater intensity and awakening feelings of love of Hashem and fear of Hashem. And then my Avoda is inspired on a much greater level. So the Alter Rebbe actually brings from the Gemara. That the Gemara is so beautiful and so cryptic, says these statements that need explanation. The Gemara asks the question, so what's the difference between the Oved and the Lo Avodo? The Gemara, it's a Gemara in the tractate Chagiga, that brings this pasuk, this verse that we're talking about from Malachi, and says, so what's the difference between the one who's truly serving Hashem and the one who isn't? So the Gemara says, the difference between the servant of Hashem and the non-servant is one who reviews their Torah study 100 times versus one who reviews their Torah study 101 times. Famous statement of the Gemara. The difference between, if the words of the Gemara are Hashone Pirko Mea Pa'amim, one who studies their learning 100 times, Lashone Pirko Mea Pa'amim Va'achas, one who studies it, reviews it 101 times. So that one extra time, which is only 1%, 1% difference. If person A studied 100 times, a person A to B studied 101 times, that's only one more time. That's 1% more. That made the whole difference between an Ovid, that this person is a servant of Hashem, and this person is not a real servant of Hashem. What does that mean? Why does that one time make the world of a difference? Now, the Rebbe says, in the olden days, common practice was to review something 100 times. Now, that's an amazing concept to think about for a moment. For us, that's amazing. But if you think about it, there's a very simple reason to it. The Alter Rebbe doesn't discuss this in Tanya. Simple reason, you remember, they didn't have books, right? When you learn something, this was your only chance to get it and bring it into yourself and bring it in that you can remember. You didn't have a library you turn around and pull it out and look at it again, right? So the normal way of learning something was memorizing it. That's how people learned for thousands of years. Right, the gift of Sfarim, I'm looking at myself here in the video and I'm seeing behind me, you can see some of my Sfarim. The gift of Sfarim is the ability that, you know, it makes us lazy. That we don't have to learn something 100 times. You learn it once, then you remember where to look it up. You know, and then bring on the internet, bring on everything. I mean, the gift of knowledge today is amazing. But on the other hand, we don't study the same way. But back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says it was common, the regular, normal way was to study 100 times. That was the Seder. So to do it that way means doing what was common, or what was the regilus, the common practice. The one extra time means breaking out of my boundaries. So although it's only one time more, but that's the time that I'm forced to go out of the norm, go out of the regular, push myself beyond. Pushing myself beyond, that's where avoda begins. Doing what's natural is wonderful, is good. It's a mitzvah. It's still a mitzvah. But it doesn't make me an ovate. I'm not serving. I'm not working hard on serving. It's pushing myself beyond my limit. Whatever my limit is, that's where avoda begins for me, when I go beyond the limit. And therefore, and the Gemara brings an actual example, a metaphor. The Gemara says a mashal from a shuk shel chamorim. Shuk shel chamorim literally is a marketplace that would, I guess today we'd call it like a taxi or an Uber. But then it was chamorim, which are donkeys. So it says you had the marketplace of donkeys and you rented them for a trip. Said the Gemara, if you rented to go 10 parsa was a distance. I'm going to say parsa is a couple miles, maybe 2-3 miles. I don't know exactly. But if you rented the donkey to go 2-3 miles, I'm sorry, 10 parsa, so 20-30 miles, bezuzah, you paid a zuz, whatever amount that was, whatever currency. Ula achad asar parsi, you want to go 11 parsa instead of 10, trei zuzi, that's 2 zuz. Now listen to the math. 10 parsas, 1 zuz. 11 parsa, 2 zuz. That doesn't make any sense. 11 parsa is only 10% more. Why am I paying double? And the answer, says the Alter Rebbe, is because the regular trip was 10 parsas. That's what the donkeys were used to. That's what the donkey drivers were used to. That's regular. You want to go on a regular trip, it's a zuz. You want to go beyond regular, double. Double the price. Because that's how things are. What's normal, you pay X amount. You go beyond that, that becomes a whole different level. And that, says the Alter Rebbe here, is the difference between the Oved Elohim and the Asher Lo Avado. Interestingly, the Rebbe comments and he says that everything in Torah is exact. That the fact that they use here the metaphor of a shuk of chamorim, of the marketplace of donkeys. The word chamor, which is a donkey, but also refers to the chomer, which is the physicality of ourselves. Right? There's the famous teaching of the Baal Shem Tov on the pasuk that says, Kisira chamor sonacha. It says, if you see the donkey of your enemy and he's under a heavy weight, don't think you shouldn't help him. You have to help your enemy with his donkey who's under a heavy load. And the Baal Shem Tov said that the donkey is our own enemy. It says that the donkey is our body, is our physicality, our materialism. And sometimes we look at it as our enemy because it's against our godliness, our holiness. So we might not want to help it. But Baal Shem Tov said, no, we have to work together with our body and together with our nature and together with our physicality and bring it all into Avodas Hashem. So the Rebbe says here too, talking about this marketplace of donkeys, that's our own, again, the animal soul, the part of us that's lazy, that doesn't want to push ourselves beyond our natural things that we're good at or that we appreciate or that we enjoy. And here's, we have that teaching, that you'll go 10 parsa, if you do what you're comfortable with, that's great. One pushes themselves out of their comfort zone to do a mitzvah that's out of one's comfort zone, or to learn more Torah that they're naturally used to, or to daven better, or to give more tzedakah, or to do that mitzvah that's difficult, that's so much more meaningful because that requires avodas Hashem. And that avodas Hashem, said the Alter Rebbe, is either, and with this he finishes the chapter, is either through using our mind and learning more to awaken feelings of avas Hashem and yiras Hashem, fear of Hashem and love of Hashem, and through that to overcome those tendencies of the heart. Or he says, even if one is not so intellectually inclined to do it that way, but it's through awakening and fanning the flames of our natural love and fear of Hashem, and in that way overcoming those natures that hold us back, that keep us to do only what we're naturally comfortable with and used to. And he says, so when one does that, when one does awaken those feelings, and one does use their mind, and they overcome, then they're an Oved Elohim, then they're serving Hashem. Otherwise, they're not called an Oved, because it's not considered their service, their Avoda, it's something that comes more naturally from the basic Nefesh Elokis that one has. And therefore, he finishes off the Perek by says, now we understand who these four people are in that Pasuk of Malachi. The Tzaddik is the Tzaddik, of course, the one who's ready, the servant, because they've removed the animal soul. The Oved Elokim is the proper Beinoni, the Beinoni that struggles and works hard and pushes themselves and overcomes in that way the various different Lochamos, different battles that the Beinoni has. The Lo Avado is also a Beinoni. But a Beinoni that's not really putting forth tremendous effort because things come naturally to them and they're not pushing themselves to go the extra mile. And then you have the Rasha, which is the one who doesn't do the right thing. That's really a different level altogether. And that's how he finishes with this Perek. I want to go, we're finishing ahead of time here, but to mention a beautiful story in the Gemara, very powerful story, that the Alter Rebbe explains using this concept. He doesn't explain it here in this chapter. He explains it in another Sefer, and that is in Torah Or. Right? The Alter Rebbe wrote, of course, the Sefer HaTanya, which is the most famous of his Sfarim and Chassidus. But after that, the Alter Rebbe also has the Torah Or and Likutei Torah, which are the next most famous Chassidus Sfarim that we have. Torah Or and Likutei Torah. Torah Or is on Chumash Bereishis, Maimarim, on Chumash Bereishis and Shemos, and Megillas Esther. And oh, by the way, I forgot to say, I should have mentioned it earlier. We're talking, this whole chapter is based on a pasuk of Malachi. There's an interesting question as to who Malachi is, who he actually was. The Gemara discusses, according to some opinions, Malachi is actually Mordechai from Megillah, from the story of Purim. People don't know that. I just reminded myself when I said Megillah Esther, that the Gemara says, according to some, Malachi is Mordechai, and he's called Malachi because he was the Mishnah LaMelech, because he was the second to the king, to Achashverosh, and that's why I got the name Malachi. According to others, Malachi is actually Ezra, Ezra the scribe, who was the head of the men of the great assembly, the one who built the second Beis HaMikdash. And according to the third, Malachi is his own person. That's a Navi who lived in that same generation as Mordechai and Ezra. It's an interesting piece of information. But back to what we're discussing. So the Alter Rebbe writes the Torah on Bereishis and Shemos and Megillas Esther, and then Likutei Torah, which is on Vayikra, Bamidbar, Devarim, and Shir HaShirim. So I want to say over an idea that he says in a Maimer in Torah Or. He brings a Gemara. The Gemara is in Tractate Avodah Zarah. And it talks about one of the 10 martyrs. We know the times of the Romans who destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash. Immediately in the aftermath of that destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, we have the stories of the Asara Harugi Malchus, the 10 martyrs, one of the terrible calamities, tragedies of Klal Yisrael. We talk about it in the Kinos on Tisha B'Av. We talk about it in the Davening of Musaf on Yom Kippur. When these 10 tremendously great tzaddikim, leaders of the generations, were killed, murdered by the Romans. Many of them tortured to death by the Romans. And even though when we say it in the davening, it sounds like it happened in one day, like one after the other, that's just the way it's written up poetically. Really, it happened over 100 years under Roman rule. Some were in Eretz Yisrael, some were in Rome. But one of them was the great tzaddik and sage of the Mishnah. His name was Rav Chanina ben Tradyon. Rav Chanina ben Tradyon, great tzaddik. His daughter was the famous Bruria, the wife of Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara relates the following. It says, another one of the great tzaddikim of the time, his name was Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma. And when Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma was ill, so Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyon went to visit him. And Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, who's laying on his deathbed, an elderly man, elderly sage, says, Chanina achi, my brother Chanina. Don't you understand that the Romans, Hashem gave them now the rulership over us? They're the ones, they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. They've killed who knows how many of Klal Yisrael. And they're still here. They're ruling us. And I hear about you, Rabbi Yossi tells Rabbi Chanina, that you're disregarding them. That although they decreed that one should not teach Torah in the public, you sit in the public thoroughfares, and you gather big crowds, and you sit in the Sefer Torah, and you teach Torah. So this is Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, again, who these are both sages of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma is on his deathbed. Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyon came to visit. And Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma says, how are you acting this way? You're committing suicide by teaching Torah in public, in the marketplaces, under Roman oppression, Roman rule. So Rabbi Chanina says, Min hashamayim yirachamu, from heaven they'll have mercy on me. Rabbi Yossi says, I'm talking to you logic. What are you telling me? From heaven they'll have mercy on you? He says, I'm afraid that they're gonna burn you together with the Sefer Torah that you're teaching from. which in fact is exactly what happened, as we'll see shortly. So then Rav Chanina turned to Rabbi Yossi and he says, Rabbi, he says, do you think I have Olam Haba? Rabbi Chanina Matradion asks Rabbi Yossi and Kisma, Rabbi, ma ani l'chaye Olam Haba? Do you think that I'm deserving of Olam Haba? So Rabbi Yossi Kisma says, that's a good question. He says, tell me, did you do any good deeds to be deserving of Olam Haba? So he says, yeah, actually, yes. He says, I am also a collector of tzedakah. And it was last Purim that I collected the tzedakah for the poor. And somehow the monies that I collected got mixed up with my own monies. And I was confused. What did I collect? What was tzedakah money? What was mine? And I decided I gave it all away to the poor. My money, the tzedakah money. So I shouldn't have any question. Rabbi Yossi hears this and he says, really, that's what happened? If so, my lot should only be with your lot. You're for sure an Olam Haba. I wish to be with your lot. That was the end of their conversation. The Gemara goes on to the tragic ending of that story. It says that it was only a few days later, Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma passed away. And then the Romans came and they saw Rabbi Chanina ben Matradion teaching the Torah. And they did what Rabbi Yossi said. They actually wrapped him in a Sefer Torah and they burnt him with a Sefer Torah. And that's how he died. It says his daughter was there. His daughter was there when her father was killed. And she said, Father, she says, I'm devastated to see you like this, being killed, being burned to death. And he says, I'm being burnt together with the Sefer Torah. I'm happy. And he says, whoever will avenge the Sefer Torah will avenge me as well. The disciples were there and said, Rabbi, what do you see? He says, I see that the parchment is being burnt, but I see the letters of the Torah going up to heaven and my neshama is going up together with them. And that was how Rav Chanina ben Matradion, one of the Asara Arig Malchus, one of the 10 martyrs, was killed. That's the story. The Gemara goes on with more stories, but that's enough for now. That's the story. So the Alter Rebbe in Torah Er brings the story and he asks the obvious question. Rav Chanina ben Matradion is a person, is a tzaddik, who is being Moser Nefesh here for the Jewish people, for learning Torah. He's learning Torah and he's teaching Torah, and he's going to be killed for it. He's going to die for teaching Torah. He turns to his Rebbe and says, Rebbe, do you think I'm going to go to Olam Haba? What kind of question is that? Of course he's going to go to Olam Haba. He's a tzaddik. He's dying al Kiddush Hashem. What's more puzzling is the answer. What did Rabbi Yossi answer? He didn't say, well, of course. He didn't say that at all. He says, well, tell me a mitzvah that you did. He says, well, I was a collector of tzedakah and the money's got mixed up and I gave the money to tzedakah. That's all he could think of? And Rabbi Yossi says, oh, if so, then you're going to Olam Haba. What was going on? What was the question? What was the answer? Why was he asking if I'm going to Olam Haba? Why was he answering him based on a story of the monies of Purim and the monies of tzedakah? What's the whole interchange? What's the whole dialogue? And the Alter Rebbe answers based on this concept of Tanya. He says, Rabbi Chanina ben Matradion had devoted his entire life to Torah study. And he learned Torah, and he taught Torah, and he was going to die for teaching Torah. But Rav Chanina ben Matradion was bothered. His question was, maybe my devotion to Torah study is because I just love learning. Maybe I'm just such a studious person. And the Alter Rebbe goes on, and he says, you should know that there have been non-Jewish great thinkers and teachers and scholars that all they cared about was studies. He says, you don't, To be totally devoted to study is not necessarily an indication of a person being a great Oved Hashem. It could be this is a person who's consumed with a passion and desire for study and learning. And Rav Chanina Matradion was asking exactly that to his Rebbe, Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma. He said, I know that I've studied my entire life. I know I've studied and taught and I live for teaching and I'll die for teaching. But is it Avodas Hashem? Is it really my connection to Hashem? Is it my avoda? Or maybe it's just what comes naturally to me, what I appreciate in life. And Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma said, good question. That's a good question. Because maybe your studies are not selfish, but maybe it's not an indication of real avoda. Tell me something else that you're involved with. And he says, well, the truth is, I'm also a tzedakah collector. And not just I'm a tzedakah collector, when push comes to shove, I give my money away to tzedakah as well, if there's a question. So Rabbi Yossi, if so, you're in. Because you're not just serving Hashem with one midah, with a thing that you're naturally good at. Typically, one who's totally involved in studies and intellectual is not involved in collecting tzedakah. and is not involved in distributing tzedakah. It's a different type of job. It requires a different type of person, different type of mentality, a different type of a different type of excitement. He says, if we want to know if we're really doing avodas Hashem, it's by checking within ourselves: do we only serve Hashem in one area, or also in different types of areas? Do we also put ourselves out and put the extra mile also for different types of areas and different types of talents, things that require a different type of excitement? If we're doing it for Hashem's sake, then it can't be limited to only one area. If we're willing to do in learning and in tzedakah and in midas tovus and whatever is necessary, that's a sign of avodas Hashem. And that was the answer of Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma to Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion. If your devotion to Hashem is not merely study oriented, but it's also when it comes to tzedakah, and it's also when it comes to helping another person, that means that you're willing to do whatever Hashem wants from you, then that's avodas Hashem. And that's coming back to the chapter. That's the key and the big novelty of this chapter, the concept that a beinoni is not just about doing the right thing, but it's about doing it for Hashem. Avodas Hashem, it's the service, it's the internal battle. And even if, as the question was asked before, but what if naturally I do everything right, then the battle is to do more, to do better, to push oneself out of their comfort zone, to add more than the regulus, like the time 101 over the 100, or the 11th parsa over the 10. And then one knows that it's a Ovid Elokim, serving Hashem and calling out from within oneself the inner koach to serve Hashem properly, using the Avas Hashem, using the Yiras Hashem, using these bonumas in order to be able to push ourselves to go beyond our comfort zone and do a taka out of real Avodas Hashem to serve Hashem properly. And then one is the Ovid Elokim. So that's the chapter 15. And then, Mirz Hashem, next week we'll move on to chapter 16, Bezrat Hashem.